Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm John Purcell, and I'm here faced with two people today, which is a bit strange for me. But we have done this before, although I had a team a member on my side. But Tim Miller, Matt Stanton, welcome.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
This is one of those podcasts where I feel that bodily fluids are acceptable. Is that, can we get that? Yeah. If someone lets out a fart, it's all good. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. We are here to talk about your instructive book. It's probably placed either in children's or in the self-help section. Don't spew in your space suit, which is one of those, you don't often think about it. It doesn't come to mind when I was a child thinking of being an astronaut. It wasn't one of the things that came in my mind. But
it's one of the hidden dangers of
space. This is brilliant. This is so instructive. It's great to see you two back together. The band's back together.
Absolutely.
You've got this new book out, and it's going to be perfect for Christmas, and we're very excited about it. Answers to where did the spew come from? The idea, the initial concept?
I think we wanted to do something set in space. And having that kind of astronaut, that was kind of where we wanted, but we were like, okay, so what body function kind of do we go with it?
Have you got a list at home of body functions that you've
been through? I've got a notebook where I've been scribbling down some ideas. We're all good. Future possibilities.
Wait, I've got to get back. So if you don't know, these guys have covered dumps, farts, wee, and now spew. Are we missing anything here?
No, that's pretty much it so far.
Okay, good. Yeah, good.
So with every book, we pair a bodily function with something else that like 4 to 6 year old kids really enjoy. So it started with the fart monster, pairing monsters and farts, and then we've had peeing pirates, pooing dinosaurs, and now spewing astronauts.
Yeah.
So I was missing tractors.
Tractors
are big.
Right. We need to get on that.
Diggers.
Well, clearly that's something that we've been missing out on.
Yes.
I'm not quite sure what body function that we'd be pairing those guys with.
So good. So you actually came up with the space idea first and then came to the spew.
It's always more difficult going with what's the plot, the theme, where are we setting it? Because it's really easy to come up with the body function. Let's be honest. Spewing, you know, we've all done it once, twice, several times. So, you know, that's the easy side. The hard side is, what do we match it with?
But it seems like they've always been together now. Now that I've seen them together, it makes so much sense.
Well, as soon as we sort of put the two things together, then there was a whole lot that sort of just felt like it made sense. Both the sort of the motion sickness aspect of spewing, but then the super interesting idea of vomiting in a gravity-free environment.
Like, what would that look like?
Like, it's a whole new level of gross.
What reaction do you get from parents? I mean, they're definitely the type of parent like me who is irresponsible, loves a bit of fart jokes, loves a bit of spew, loves a bit of poo, all that.
Sure. Side.
But do you ever get any response from parents who aren't maybe as liberal or as easygoing with all those sort of things?
Sure, yeah. Look, I mean, the books aren't for everybody, but a decision that we made together right at the beginning with Fart Monster was we were going to create books specifically with like 4 to 6 year old kids in mind.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't care about anybody else. We're trying to create a really fun and silly and enjoyable reading experience for them. And so that means for Tim and I, like, fully immersing ourselves in their world, even if it's embarrassing or if it's gross or if it leads people to judge us.
Well, the first book, just when I first saw it, it almost felt like a bit of child abuse in the background, because it felt like my childhood wasn't good enough for an artist or a creator to come up with something that splendid. and I lacked that during my childhood. I had to put up with boring books. And then suddenly, I was in my 40s before someone came up with the idea of a fart monster. I mean, for Christ's sake. Well,
I have it now,
and I can look at these books whenever I feel like it. But, you know, it seems so prim and proper and boring, my 70s childhood, with really nothing.
Well, the whole concept of our books is basically we want the kid to choose the book, not the parent, not the grandparent. The kid wants to be able to, you know, read something about astronauts who spew or monsters that fart. That's why we write them.
And you get to see some of these kids. You meet the kids in bookshops and
yeah, like, certainly.
And the feedback is
they love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's and what's wonderful is by just fully joining them in what they enjoy and what they find funny, the joy that you see them experience when you get to read it with them, is all sort of centered in a book. And you know, there's so much research that says that kids really fall in love with reading when they're allowed to really choose books themselves, and so that's what drives us, is creating books right for that space.
You have an only parent, because kids do that thing where they go, I want to read that book, and then next night, same book. Next night, yeah. Same book.
We're so sorry.
No, we're not. Not in the slightest.
One of my favourite moments was when I got the fart monster plush.
Yeah,
which is annoying.
Yes,
it squeaks, it farts, you know.
Yeah.
So how long does it take to put one of these things together? And is it, how collaborative is it?
So it's so we do one a year. We do a book in this sort of Fart Monster and Friends sort of series every Christmas. It's really collaborative at the start. So it's really collaborative when we first work on the concept together. Tim and I used to work together, like as in we saw each other in an office every day. Now not so much. But
the divorce had it.
Yeah. He left me. You left first.
He took the dog.
So we work on the concept together and make sure that we're really happy with that. And then Tim does most of the writing, I do most of the drawing, but it is probably more collaborative than a more traditional author-illustrator relationship.
So you do like stick drawings and go, I want it like this.
Occasionally it'd be like, what if we just try turning him around? Yeah. And yeah, but it really is collaborative. Like, before I submit any of the text, Matt has to see, he has to like it. If I go too far, Matt will say, go further. so, you know, there's that. But yeah, and then Matt shows the roughs. We get a general direction and it's like, yeah, I like how this is going. Or, you know, should the kid have red hair? That is always a question that we put debate every time. But yeah, so we have got a ginger.
So you're designing, like, you do this on a computer, or is this, how do you do this? How do you illustrate
yeah,
this?
Yeah, so it's all digital. So yeah.
So you could send him, like, blue, green,
absolutely.
Red, all
yeah,
different
yeah.
kinds of hair, and go, which hair?
What's yes, it? Yeah. yeah.
It's like, what colour should this pew be? And then, you know, colour palette charts and...
We spent a lot of time on spew colour in this book.
It's important. It's very important.
Is that via email? You're sitting there with a laptop in front of you with beers going, I don't know.
Well, too brown and it looks like diarrhea. Too yellow and it looks like pee. We settled on something that could be pee if you were taking a lot of vitamin B supplements. But other than that, is like just really glowing and sort of radiating.
And then you've got to think of consistency as well. That's quite an important element to it as well. No chunks, so useful.
And that is something that we've talked about on the way through all the way. there is an element to the illustration style where we do try to keep it quite sort of cute, like it's like the spew in it looks a lot like Flubber. Remember that
Williams
movie?
Yeah.
So rather than it look like, if we actually, like, there are pages in here that are just covered in spew. If we did them true to life,
it wouldn't be pleasant.
It would just make it.
I'm looking through and I'm seeing those pages. I'm going, no, I'm glad you did it the way you did.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a certain artistic license, but it's good for us.
Yeah,
it's the way we need to go. The development of the story too. You know, as you know, this is a guy on a rocket ship going up, and it's a bit queasy.
Yes. Yeah. It's a little bit... Is there life on Mars? This is the question.
So going back to the original moment, I just. When you're doing the Fart Monster book, was it just like you guys just throwing around ideas and, like, a lot of people have a really great idea, have another drink, watch a bit of footy, and then forget it, forget the idea? Like, how did you actually get it to to come together, because people have these ideas all the time. We should really do that book. Yeah, or we should really do that thing, and they never get around to doing it. What was it that turned you from being two guys that had a great idea to two guys having a great idea and then putting all the effort in to get it out?
We made notes before we hit like the fifth or sixth drink, so that was really quite useful. No potential of forgetting the day after. Well, both of us working in publishing and both of us loving books really was probably the driving point.
Ah, but I can tell you there are a lot of people out there in publishing and book selling and the rest of it who have great book ideas who never get off the button to do it.
Sure.
So can you find anything within what you were doing that actually, was it the two of you because you were encouraging each other, or is it, what was
it? I think it was certainly that. I think for us it was always going to be something that we made. Like as in, we started the conversation with, we should make a picture book.
Yeah.
What should it be about? As opposed to, oh yeah, I had an idea for a picture book once, which right. is how
a lot of them.
Like every parent certainly has an idea for a picture book, and most people have sort of, oh, they should. And if they're lucky enough,
they become celebrities and then they get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said it.
There's a lot of flack at the moment in the UK about these celebrity kids' books.
Right.
Because they had the World Book Day, and most of the books they chose were from celebrity authors rather than the hardworking creatives that have been doing it for years and filling libraries and making kids happy.
Yeah, sure.
They went for some shoddy celebrity who just came up with a book that would have been ghostwritten or helped to go with it. And there's a lot of press now with the celebrities. I mean, do you feel that you want to jump onto TV or put out an album or maybe win an Oscar just to get the back of them for stepping in on your area?
I feel like that's a challenge accepted, really. Just throw the gauntlet down. Sign us up.
That's my favourite piece of advice that I like to give when people ask, you know, how do you get into a book? You know, I've got an idea for a book. How do you get into it? And my advice is you've got two options. You can either... start making one book and then make another one and then make another one and do it for 10 years, or go and get famous for something else and then it'll be easy afterwards.
Oh, so much easier.
So, I mean, both options are available.
Yeah, well, I mean, in this YouTube era, it is probably an easier route than working hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Just start talking straight down the camera by yourself in your bedroom and a couple of years later, there you are with the book deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you haven't even got out of your pyjamas. It's genius. People work for 10 years to get in the books, and that's a really fast route.
And you've got to put on pants every day.
You have to put on pants. I think we'll just solve that one. We should write a writing book. Yes. Very short pamphlet. Leaflet.
How to be a New York Times bestseller.
Pajamas.
What is next? Because I can think of snot, boogers. I'm just trying to think of other things that we do that are just absolutely and utterly foul. Pig Pen from Peanuts comes to mind, maybe like the grubbiest kid in the world. Or
sure.
Is there, have you got a, like, is your list getting shorter, or are you going to return and fold back on one of your earlier omissions? Or?
Nice choice of words.
we do have a few ideas, and there are more books coming. Something that we were just chatting about over lunch, like just then, is that we should mash up, like we should, basically this is the Fart Monster Extended Universe.
Yeah.
So think the Avengers.
Oh, the Avengers.
Yeah. Let's start to bring them all. Let's have pirates versus alien, like peeing pirates versus spewing aliens and
pooping dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs versus monsters.
You've got your spaceman, and you can sort of do that time warp thing that happened in, what was that movie that, and then he ended up touching the edge of time and coming back around.
I know what you mean.
It had McConaughey in it.
Yes.
Matthew McConaughey was in it. Yeah, so he'd come back to the dinosaur era.
Yeah, exactly.
Gone through a wormhole or something.
Yes. Yeah.
But I do like the fact that you discuss poo, wee, vomit at lunch, and a mashup. I like that as well. A mashup of all those things over lunch.
Oh, this was mid-meal too. I wasn't even waiting for the end after we'd eaten. We were just like straight in there.
You got some sort of stew in front of you going,
the bodily function mashup.
It's like gastro from both ends. Just spit it out.
Guys, thank you so much for coming in and for sharing so much with us, and for also giving us some writer tips and some how to get into the game quicker.
Oh, it's easy. Just get a million Instagram followers.
Million, fine. Yeah. These days it seems to be quite easy to do that. So
we've cracked it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Don't spew in your space; it will make a perfect gift. I feel there's a great market there for uncles who really want to disturb, the new mothers and their sisters and the rest of it with this. Hey, I've bought a perfect book for your child. It's all about spew.
I think many of our books are given as pranks. Yes, dedications
and then loved.
Yes, yeah, totally fine.
Yeah.
Well, yes. In our household, whenever there's a new nephew or grandson or whatever, these sort of things, everyone competes and everyone watches to see which one they choose to play with after the wrapping's all cleaned up and the rest of it. Everyone watches and then they go, yeah, he's playing with my bike. Like, yeah, he's written the book that I gave him. I imagine this is the one. Yeah, out of all the things that they're looking at on Christmas morning, they'll go straight to the spew.
I think so.
Thank you very much.
And you can get all of Tim Miller's and Matt Stanton's books at booktopia.com.au right now.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.